About 10 minutes past midnight on a brand new Monday morning, July the 30th, 1945, the proud but tired USS Indianapolis churned through the waves of the Pacific, midway between Guam and the Leyte Gulf. Just 4 days earlier, the 13-year-old flagship of the 5th Fleet had completed the most important and secret mission of World War II, the delivery to Tinian Island of the most significant elements of the atomic bomb that just 7 days later would destroy Hiroshima and force Japan's surrender, the end of the war. But on that starry night, on this mighty ship, many lives changed and many more were lost. A Japanese I-58 submarine, under the order of Lieutenant Commander Moshitsuro Hashimoto, fired 6 torpedoes from a range of 1,500 meters. In just 14 minutes, the Indianapolis was sunk, with its crew of 1,157 sailors and 39 Marines. 900 made it into the water before the ship went under. The rest drowned or perished in the explosion. In the 4 days before rescue planes found them floating, nearly 600 of the 900 had died, some from exposure, most from shark attacks. Just 317 were rescued. One of those was Glenn G. Morgan of Camp Creek. He has an incredible story. Meet Glenn Morgan, U.S. Navy, one of the captain's telephone operators on the bridge and one of the ship's buglers, and more important, one of the survivors of the USS Indianapolis.
I watched it sink. I watched the stern go up in the air. I watched the big propellers or screws still turning. And I watched this thing plunge. And if you ever saw the movie Titanic where the hind end stuck up, that's exactly what this did. I'd always heard that you could get sucked under. I don't see how you could. The boiling water came up, air came up from this thing. And the water out there has a lot of phosphorus in it, and you could see it was white, just glowed. And there our old ship was gone.
Glenn Morgan swam hard towards one of the pontoon spotter aircraft that somehow had detached itself from the ship and appeared to be still afloat.
I swam to the plane, and as I got to it, it was beginning to cant. And fortunately for me, there was a life raft right there underneath the tail. And I could see the plane was sinking. I was afraid it was going to pull this life raft under, and I actually stuck my foot out of the water, and the stabilizer was coming down, and I could see it, and I thought it was going to hit inside the raft and pull the raft under, so I just, hanging on the side at the end of the raft, I just stuck my foot up and caught the tail and pulled the raft away and crawled in, and there was another raft right beside it. I didn't see. Heads were beginning to pop up then. But I couldn't see who they were, and they were all covered with fuel oil, black. We were all black and with this fuel oil.
In all, Glenn Morgan was able to help bring together 4 life rafts where he and 19 other sailors spent 4 days afloat in the Pacific. We'll have part 2 of Glenn Morgan's incredible story, USS Indianapolis, next Thursday. I'm Tom Turbeville from Meese & Kahn Attorneys at Law. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. Welcome back to the incredible story of survival of Glenn D. Morgan of Camp Creek. Glenn Morgan was one of the 316 survivors from the USS Indianapolis, the mighty cruiser that was sunk by a Japanese sub on July the 30th, 1945, near war's end. Nearly 900 lost their lives in what remains the largest naval disaster in history. Last week, Glenn talked about how he survived the blast and the sinking of the ship, how he was one of the fortunate ones who found a raft in the dark, fuel oil-ridden waters of this most isolated part of the Pacific. The story continues there.
2 or 3 people crawled in, had no idea who they were, you couldn't see, and nobody said very much. Now remember, there were cries for help, but all of a sudden this quit. There was nothing else that we could see except this one little black blob sitting over here, and it became obvious that this was a life raft of some sort. And it did. It turned out to be 2 lobbed on top of another, and there were 3 people in this. So we would holler at each other and say, we'll paddle this way and we'll get together, and we did. We had all 4 rafts in. All tied together in a big rectangular shape.
Morgan was part of a group of 20 on those four rafts. In fact, that was one of several groups of initial survivors who had bonded together at different points over a 3.5-mile stretch of the Pacific. But in the water, with the noise and over the sometimes 12-foot swales, no group could see another group.
All the time we were there, you couldn't believe that we thought that we were the only survivors.
Lost at sea, all men were intent on one thing, survival. That's where military protocol steps aside and new friendships take over. Glenn Morgan hardly knew Lieutenant J.G. Howard B. Freeze until they found themselves that night on adjoining life rafts.
And he was apparently burned. He spoke articulately enough, came out of porthole, he said. He was in the raft next to me, yeah. But Lieutenant Freeze died, and rigor mortis had set in the next morning. They couldn't find a pulse. They wanted one of us to come over. I didn't want to do it. So they took his clothes and watch and his ring, and they just slid him over. I couldn't look.
By the breaking of dawn on Monday morning, there were three main threats to survival for the crew of the USS Indianapolis. Exposure, illness because of swallowed fuel oil, and there was one other big problem.
We didn't think anything about sharks. My goodness, there's a lot of sharks in the middle of the ocean.
But it seems that finding a life raft instead of a life jacket proved a lifesaver for Glenn Morgan on the night after the explosion. Because you see, the sharks chose those who were most exposed in the life jackets.
We weren't really bothered with sharks like the fellas in the water. The fellas in the water really had a lot of trouble.
Glenn Morgan's group, now numbered 19, turned out lucky as far as shark attacks go. But for three more days and four more nights, they would wonder if anyone knew where they were. Glenn Morgan, survivor, USS Indianapolis. His story will continue next Thursday. I'm Tom Turbeville from Meese and Kahn, Attorneys at Law. This is Bravo, Brazos Valley. Pacific Ocean. As July turned to August in 1945, and Glenn Morgan and the remaining initial survivors of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. Of the 800 who did survive the torpedo explosion and the sinking, just 316 were eventually rescued. The rest were victims of exposure or sharks.
We were very fortunate. I was fortunate that I happened to pick a bunch of life rafts.
Yeah, those like Glenn Morgan in the life rafts were much better protected against the perils of the sea than those in life jackets. They also had rations, 3 ounces of water twice a day, and plenty of Spam.
With the Spam, we would make a sandwich, and there was 9 or 10 little pieces of slices of ham Spam that you could cut off of these things. And when we would throw the Spam can with its juice in it and everything into the water, is when this shark would come in close and snoop around pretty close, and so we got to calling this shark Charlie. Now, I'm assuming it's the same one every day, but it looked like the same size. He was big. Don't know what kind he was, but he was kind of an olive green looking on top and white on bottom. And we never really paid much attention to Charlie. We just called him Charlie until one day I was watching this old shark, and we just got through throwing a Spam can in, and Charlie began to come in, and he headed right for the raft. I was sitting on the edge at this time, and I said, well, look at old Charlie. And I just slid in as he got closer. And he came up to the edge of the raft, which, of course, the edges are just not very far above the water line. And his head came up and slid right up on the raft. He never tried to bite. Now, I didn't offer him my finger or anything, but he slid back in. I have no idea why. He just did it.
Now, the group of 20 on Glenn Morgan's four rafts in the Pacific was one of several groups of survivors, but no group could see or hear another. So each group of sailors figured that they were the only survivors of the Indianapolis. Day two turned tonight, as did day three. But at dusk on day four came the first suggestion of hope. In the far distance, Glenn Morgan had thought he had seen a bird. He had indeed seen an airplane.
After seeing this plane, we were enthusiastic and came to life, you might say. Then as it got dark, blue searchlights stabbed the sky. Then we knew that they were trying to let us know that help was on its way.
The incredible story of survival by Glenn Morgan and the other 315 survivors of the USS Indianapolis cannot be told in radio sound bites. There's the whole episode of The Court Martial of Captain Charles McVeigh. That's a whole other story. If you want to know more, I recommend two books, Abandoned Ship by Richard Newcomb and All the Drowned Sailors by Raymond Leck. Or go to the website ussindianapolis.org. Or you could be lucky like me and have the honor of knowing Glenn D. Morgan, bugler, USS Indianapolis.
You know, we did a lot of praying, but I can tell you this, that I had read stories about people surviving for 3 months. I didn't see why we couldn't.
I'm Tom Turbeville. From Eason Conn, Attorneys at Law, this is Bravo Brazos Valley.